The Survival Course. Are there snakes out there? You might want to borrow some boots. I've heard they don't usually bite above the ankle. Her father admonished. You can take some of the dehydrated food as well. It'll pack down better if you want to save space in your backpack. Megan couldn't believe she had gotten herself into this. While she loved the idea of supervising a group of students traveling to Thailand over the summer and knew she needed to be able to keep them safe in any emergency, she thought that a week-long survival course was a bit overdramatic. It wasn't as if the group was being left to fend for themselves in the remote jungle. They would have their base in the city and all the amenities they needed, as well as a nearby hospital. The food would be different in Thailand, and some of the kids would probably have problems with digestion or nausea, but apart from these, Megan thought the course wasn't relevant, and it was already stressing her out. Her coworkers had to go, too, which was some consolation. There would be 7 of them, and they would work together through different medical scenarios. Megan learned that it was a costly week, as it cost just over $700 to get her certification to become a wilderness first responder. The acronym for the certification was WRF, which would be printed on a card she should carry with her all the time. Megan had never been to New Mexico. The only association she had of the place were cactuses and the cow skulls in Georgia O'Keeffe paintings. She knew it would be a dry, desert climate. She knew also that she would be expected to do the sort of things people who went outside into the wilderness usually like to do. Eat granola for breakfast. Hike under the hot sun all day. Sing folk tunes by big bonfires, play guitars, stargaze, and talk about life's great mysteries. The thought of spending the entire week with a bunch of sweaty hippies trying to learn what to do in emergencies was not very appealing. Her mind was restless as she traveled to the campsite. Her father had been kind enough to drive her to the airport, and her 3-hour flight from Sacramento to Santa Fe was uneventful. She tried to relax on board with earplugs and a blindfold, as if sensory deprivation would make her thoughts quieter, too. She touched up her makeup just before the descent. There was very little turbulence, so she managed to still be precise with her eyeliner. Most of the participants would be fresh-faced, but she wore it habitually, and it made her feel more like herself. When she saw herself in the mirror, she wondered if it would be possible to conceal that she mostly loved to be indoors, usually in the corner of some library, and not roughing it out outside. Hopefully, she would not be a total social reject. She tried to shift her thoughts to what she would learn. It would be worth it to suffer through the experience for the knowledge she would gain. She collected her bags and walked through security. She immediately noticed a tall, bearded man with a sign for her company and knew that the group would gather to him. She did not want to be the first one there and need to make small talk, so she wheeled her luggage past as if she had not seen him and sat at a bench, occasionally scanning over her shoulder for the other group members' arrivals. After 10 minutes had passed, and a few others had arrived, she decided to approach the group, introduce herself, and make pleasantries. She was surprised to see that the other 3 female colleagues looked well put together, and the 3 guys, while they wore sportswear, were well-groomed and acted very professional. Maybe they would all be suffering through this together, after all, she thought. The drive to the site was interesting. Two of the girls were telling stories about recent events. One, named Sidra, had just had her wisdom teeth pulled out at the dentist and was still taking pain medication. Another had just broken up with her boyfriend, who had been living in her apartment for several months without helping to pay the utilities. The driver was the assistant for the course. His name was Mario, and he was new as well. He had been working as an ambulance driver all year, but would take this summer off to see if he enjoyed teaching. He was a large guy, maybe 250 pounds or so, with big muscles. All the guys were eager to talk with him and asked lots of practical questions about the campsites and classes. After around 30 minutes, they turned off the highway onto a dirt road, which wound its way around the hills further and further from civilization. They saw only a few ramshackle houses and many that looked abandoned. Megan had the feeling of going onto the set of a horror film. She said something along these lines, and the others nodded in assent. They seemed to enjoy her humor. When they pulled up, they noticed painted signs warning of rattlesnakes and directions on how not to harm them. What a strange place. They are more worried about the snakes than the hikers, Megan thought. Maybe this doesn't bode well for how we will be treated. Yet she was still hopeful, since the others seemed nice enough. Mario, the course assistant, pointed out some flat, dry space where she could pitch her tent. Megan realized she was one of the only people who had brought a one-person tent, as the others must have coordinated beforehand. She felt a little left out as they went about working in pairs. She was the odd one out. She had practiced putting the tent together in her backyard, so at least she would get to show off a little. She pulled out the stakes to nail down the tent's corners, then put the poles through the sides, and the tent was up in no time. She rolled out the sleeping mat and blankets for the inside and thought, actually, this looks pretty cozy. Maybe it will be a sanctuary for me. It could be nice to have privacy at the end of training days. She was starting to feel more on top of things. Then they met Dax, the course instructor. As they filed into the room, he seemed to stare right through them with a penetrating but steely gaze. His voice boomed. This is a wilderness remote medical course. You will be expected to learn the material and will be tested in a real-world setting. If you cannot absorb the information we learn in class and put into practice, I will not pass you. If I see that you are not paying attention, I will not pass you. If I see that you are afraid and hesitate when you should take charge of the situation, I will not pass you. This course will require all your concentration and your best effort for a week's time. Your phones will be turned off. You will not think about anything else this week. Do you understand? The feeling of fear in the room was strong. He went on to describe in more detail the course requirements. She would listen to this intimidating man for 8 hours a day for 7 days, and this was only day one. On the first day, They learned about the systems of the human body. The way we breathe is the respiratory system. The way the heart pumps blood through the body is the circulatory system. The way our nerves connect our brain's impulses through the spine out to the periphery parts of the body is the neurological system. She learned about the ways each system supported life and how failure in any of these systems could lead to the failure of all the body's systems and ultimately to death. She found it fascinating. Dax would also share personal stories. He was allergic to bees and had to have interventions to keep him from going into shock. He had also broken a lot of bones in his body and had had a steel plate surgically implanted into his back after a car accident. It didn't surprise Megan to hear that Dax had had a lot of traumatic experiences since he acted so tough now and so hard on his students. The days passed quickly, and despite preconceptions, Megan felt absorbed in the content of the course, but she knew the real challenge was ahead. In a few days, the instructor would give a final field test. It was going to be a simulation of a real incident, and the student would need to get on the scene quickly, but safely, find out what was the matter, diagnose, and then treat the sick or injured person using the right protocol. Megan read all about the symptoms of each medical condition in the textbook, usually alone in her tent with a flashlight. She was surprised when on the fourth night, the others in the course came to visit her tent. "Hey, smarty pants," she heard one of the guys addressing her playfully. "We're having a study group. If you want to help the rest of us, try not to kill anyone by accident." They really were a nice group, and maybe teaching the material to friends would help her to remember it better anyway. Megan allowed herself to be led by the group to where they had built a big bonfire. Some were studying by the fire, but they were mostly sharing stories, poking fun at Dax, and a few were playing guitars and ukuleles. "Of course," Megan thought, but she found herself laughing hard when some of the more talented musicians in the bunch began to write songs to remember what to do in emergencies. One song was called "Irrigate That Cut," and there was a rap song called "Anaphylaxis," where the lyrics were dedicated to different allergies. And the singers acted out being injected with adrenaline. It struck Megan that these were some of the most intelligent and creative people she had met in a long time. And better yet, they were all in the same boat with the upcoming evaluation. Megan couldn't believe how quickly Friday morning rolled around. She had done her extra reading homework and the memorization exercises for that day. But Dax was in a particularly harsh mood. When one of the students forgot to take the life jacket off a test dummy before administering CPR, he lectured the whole class sternly about their lack of good preparation. He told them that they would work an extra hour that day. That would make it 10 whole hours of instruction. Megan was beginning to feel burned out, but they were so close to finishing. She had to study hard and make one final push to get through the field test. On Saturday, each student would have to play both a victim and a rescuer. So, on Friday afternoon, Megan was given a card which explained her scenario to play the victim. She needed to find a tree and lie under it unconscious and one of her classmates would need to find her, diagnose a possible spinal injury, and get help to lift her into Mario's ambulance quickly without hurting her spine more. Megan wondered what she would need to do as a rescuer. She guessed that the other students' scenarios would be equally challenging, and she would need to be very observant and think through the right protocol quickly. Megan tried to get her mind off thinking about her own performance. She had studied hard and needed a short break. So she used the time to find a soft spot under a nearby tree. She would get to lie there as a victim the next morning. This was it, the last day, and everyone was so nervous about what their victim's symptoms would be, and they were looking through all their textbooks one last time. Dax divided the room. Two boys were chosen to rescue first, and Megan was to be a victim. The boys stayed behind, and she found her tree and lay down, trying to relax. 10 minutes later, one of the boys found her. He tried to ask her questions, but she pretended to be unconscious and didn't respond. It was an uncanny experience. He checked her for injuries, and she had to break character to tell him there was blood on her back, but nowhere else, and that she was breathing and had a pulse. Then she closed her eyes again and couldn't tell him more. Megan felt happy for him when she heard him call out to other group members to help him move her into the ambulance. It was interesting to be lifted with her eyes closed, trusting everyone to be careful with her body and not harm her. The team did a great job. After the first test, it was announced that two of the boys had passed the course. Everyone applauded. Megan breathed deeply. It was her turn. For her scenario, she was told two hikers had been lost for hours and that they needed to be found, diagnosed, and treated. Dax told them to hurry, but stay safe. Megan left the building, going toward the long grasses, as she spotted one of her classmates in the distance. She was careful not to run and looked around for dangers. When she arrived at his side, she froze for one moment. There next to him was a snake, and not a plastic one. She told her friend he needed to move slowly toward her. He didn't know why, but she was firm. He followed Megan's eyes and jolted upright. But Megan grabbed his hand and told him quietly to stay calm, but to back away slowly and quietly, to not disturb it. She took his hand and they moved together. After a few minutes, they felt the snake had gone. But as they were walking back, she noticed two marks on his arm. "Did you feel any sharp pain?" The boy said yes. Megan's heart raced. She put a bandage loosely around the injury and walked him to the ambulance as fast as she could. She ran to Dax. "We have a real snake bite. We need to get him to the hospital as soon as possible." Dax smiled. He was holding his pet snake, which he had planted on the scene. Of course, it wasn't poisonous, and the marks were made with ink. "Congratulations," he said. "I know it was a little cruel, but you did a wonderful job of getting the victim away safely." Megan took a deep breath and sat down at a desk. The victim reappeared and gave Megan a hug. He felt very sorry to be in on the trick. That day, all the students had passed their final exam. Later that summer, in Thailand, Megan was often looking for snakes where there weren't any. But one of her students got into a cycling accident, and another got seriously ill. She was glad that Dax had prepared her, even if she didn't agree with his methods. And she was glad, too, that she had had practice working in teams towards a common goal. Looking back, it was the best training she could have asked for.